I'm Brian.
I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and the inspiration to help you start and manage and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 266. Welcome back to the podcast, Brian Burke.
Thank you, Griff. It's always good to be here.
Yes.
And it is the world's most powerful marketplace.
There's no doubt about that, right?
Yeah. I like it when you say that.
Does that give you a little thrill each week?
I'm working for the most powerful marketplace.
You and I take a lot of pride in our jobs. We've been here for a long time.
We do. I think in our roles, you have to have passion around it or it probably wouldn't work.
At least for the podcast, I think that's true. But I think it's true also for you when you're meeting a lot of sellers on the road. And
you got to care. I think callousness doesn't last at eBay.
No. We've been here long enough to see that is the case.
Exactly. It is nice to meet a lot of sellers. You've met a lot of sellers over the years, too.
I have, yes. I have.
I mean, between eBay University and eBay Lives and the radio show.
Yeah. And then I figured during the run of eBay University, which was from 1999 to 2007, I once ran the numbers for attendance, and we saw over 120,000 sellers in that period of time. I don't remember all of their names.
Come on, Griff. That's next episode, right? You're just going to repeat all the names of the people that you've met over the last 25 plus years.
Yeah, I'm not Aaron Brockovich. I can't remember them all. But I remember a lot of them were memorable. And I often wonder what they're doing now. Hopefully, they're still selling on eBay.
Some are. I actually just bought an item from someone who I had connected with years and years and years ago.
Really?
And all of a sudden, I got a message through my Facebook-like messenger saying, you probably don't know this, but you just bought an item from me, which was kind of nice.
And what was the item?
It was actually an eBay-logoed domino set. You have one, or you've probably had one.
Yes.
Well, I gave one away that I shouldn't have given away, and so I had to find a replacement.
Was it the small one? There was one made that was huge, like oversized.
No, this was only like, I don't know, probably like maybe 8 inches by a couple inches.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really cool little set. I needed to get a replacement.
I think behind you in those boxes somewhere.
Yeah, that's the one I gave away.
Oh, did you give it away? Great. Fantastic.
No.
Why?
No, because then I felt guilty because I felt like, okay, there was only one of those. So
that's
I was okay giving duplicates of things away, but there was only one of those. And I thought I better get a replacement.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, the studio where Brian is sitting right now, behind him, before I left San Jose and I was cleaning out my garage, I had box upon box upon box of eBay branded stuff from the last 25 years. And I boxed all of it up. I kept very little. I kept maybe a small box and put it in that studio with the instructions that anytime a seller comes to visit the campus, let them take something. It should go out into the world. It's just going to sit in boxes otherwise. This is some pretty cool stuff. I saw a picture of Jamie holding up what I think was one of my jackets that I left there.
It could have been.
Yeah, it could have been. I'm glad it's getting out there.
Well, it's good, but it's also, I think there's been a change in direction on what we want to do.
What do you mean?
Maybe not give all of it away just yet.
No, wait a minute, Brian. That was the stipulation, is that you give it away.
But now I've been given some other guidance. So like, I felt like maybe I gave a little too much away.
Oh.
So when I went back and looked at things, I thought, okay, that, you got to admit, the Domino's thing was a cool little item.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a thing.
Yeah, it is. But you know what I have to say? You know, our sellers are wonderful sellers. And I also, when it came back, the person, she asked if I had the plush It doll. And I said, I gave that, you know, my personal one away. And so when she sent it back, she sent me both items, which was like super sweet of her.
Yeah. There was a plush It in that box of stuff.
Yeah. And I gave it away too.
Yes.
Now they're both back.
Yeah, you have to give it away. That was the, and I don't care if sellers take them and resell them. I don't care. There's no strings attached.
I know you don't care, but there are some other people who have some other opinions on maybe what we should do with some of the stuff.
Yeah, but I left it there under the stipulation that no strings attached. Don't make me come down there and take it all back. I won't.
There is one difference in the domino set, though.
What is that?
Your domino set, I believe, was red, and the one that I purchased was green.
Oh, okay. Well, you know. Big deal.
Because they were in the eBay colors, I believe.
I think they may have been. It's been so long, I don't remember.
I'm only guessing because since you had a red one and I had a green one, that's two of the four colors. I'm just assuming there was a yellow one and a blue one.
There probably was.
That was a long time ago.
You meet a lot of sellers, as we just talked about. Have you ever met any sellers who run both an online and brick and mortar business?
I have, and I know you have too.
I haven't. In fact, this week, our guest just fits that profile. She's an eBay seller. Her name is Mayumi Roem, and she has an interesting consignment shop just outside of Disneyland in Anaheim, where she sells on eBay as well. And we're going to talk to Mayumi about what she sells to find out more how she manages this unusual hybrid business model.
And is it consignment or does she do direct sales?
It's consignment mostly. So it's interesting, interesting model. And of course, we have questions this week. We didn't have a You Got Questions segment last week when we did the recap for the reseller event, but we do this week. And for those who love hearing us answer questions, get ready. We'll have some. But first, Brian, is there any eBay news you want to report this week?
Actually, no. There's nothing from the eBay news desk.
Oh, I guess no news is good news.
But USPS did release their 2023 holiday shipping deadlines. Shall I read them?
Oh, by all means.
Okay. For USPS Ground Advantage, the last day to ship is Saturday, December 16th. The last day for first class mail, that's envelopes and cards, is also Saturday, December 16th. If you're shipping out priority mail, then the absolute last day for shipping will be Monday, December 18th for U.S. mainland destinations, including Alaska. But for Hawaii, the deadline for USPS priority is Saturday, December 16th. And finally, if you are shipping any eBay sales via Priority Mail Express, you'll have up to Wednesday, December 20th, 2023, to ship with assurances that the parcel will get to its destination before December 25th. In addition to these dates, USPS announced that it will not impose surcharges this holiday season. Well, that's good cheer.
That's great.
December 16th is kind of like a big date. And then the 20th, if you want to really increase your shipping cost.
Right. And I think, you know, you may get requests, last minute procrastinator buyers who are going to want something to they can grab at the last minute and then hopefully get it to take it to grandma's Christmas celebration.
Actually, that's a really good point, Griff. I know a lot of sellers at this time of year, in fact, throughout the year, will have a couple options for buyers. And so if they just build it into their options and have it as an option for buyers who want to pay that extra amount for priority, it's there.
It doesn't hurt to put it in. Somebody may take advantage of it. And that could mean for you that you'll make sales past the 16th for people who say, well, it's the 19th. And they may question and say, hey, can you get this to me before the 25th? And you can say, if you buy it now, I wouldn't hesitate. And the only option at this point is Priority Mail Express. But if you're willing to pay, I'm happy to ship it out. So yeah.
Do you know anyone who procrastinates on their gift purchasing around the holidays? I know someone.
Yeah. You do? Who?
Myself. I'm horrible. So if you're a seller out there, you might be getting me to buy some of your items if you offer priority.
Absolutely. Like a domino set.
Yes. Well, I have one of those now. Well, I don't own it, actually. It's to be given away or whatever's going to happen to it.
I'm curious. I'm going to ask you off the record later on what's going on with the stuff that I left in that room and who's now taking control of it. I don't really care.
I will say, I know nothing, or how I, that was a terrible accent, but you know the TV show it's from?
Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hogan's
Heroes.
All right, well, enough of us chit-chatting away. I think the audience needs to know something about our guest this week, so let's meet her right now. Our guest this week is a seller on eBay named Mayumi Roem. She's the senior manager at MyD Pins and Collectibles here on eBay. MyD Pins is a small business less than 2 miles away from the Disneyland Resort, specializing in all things collectibles. MyD Pins has been open since 2008, and it's a hybrid store of consignment sellers, an eBay storefront for the rare and retired, and the newest toys for kids of all ages. Mayumi was first introduced to the shop through the Disney pin hobby, and was scouted to work for the shop in 2014 because of her savvy trading abilities. MyD Pins has been a pillar of the Southern California collectibles community with their buy, sell, and trade model. Everyone knows them. Welcome to the show, Mayumi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, Disney.
Disney. Love it. Whole life.
Since you were how old?
As long as I can remember. I have pictures of me as young as one at the resort with different characters and it's funny seeing characters that I liked in my teens. I was attached to them as young as like two.
And when you say resort, we're talking about Disneyland in Anaheim.
In Anaheim, yeah.
The original headquarters.
The original, the OG, yes.
The OG, exactly. I actually first went to that park a couple years after it opened as a child. And I have some memories about standing in long lines.
Oh, those are still there.
So you have been selling on eBay since 2008, or is that since the store has been open?
That is since the store has been open, but on eBay, they've been on eBay since 2006. But it was taking off so much, they were like, let's open a store. And it started off as one room, small room, and then we kept expanding over and over from our neighbors. And then eventually we moved to a larger space that we needed.
And this is just outside the park?
Not just outside. It's not in downtown Disney exactly, but it's walkable, but most people drive.
In Anaheim then?
In Anaheim, yes.
Yeah. And it's still there?
Yes.
This is a lot of foot traffic you get from the park itself then?
It is. We get a lot of tourists as well as dedicated traders who come once a week, but a lot of our visitors are from out of town who've heard about the store online and they've always wanted to come. And it's nice seeing different families from all over the country and all over the world, really.
Does My D-Pins and Collectibles have an arrangement with Disney where they can get some of the collectibles before they go on the market?
No, we are not affiliated at all. I don't actually go there very often. We find more that people come to us with the new releases, because they want something older that we have and they'll buy the new thing and bring it in to trade for something that they wanted at more higher price.
You call yourself a hybrid store. Is that what that means?
I would say hybrid because we're not all our inventory. We have different sellers in our store. I would break it up into three places. So there's our consignment sellers who are on one side of the store. They have their own space. They can price however they want. We don't control them. We just do percentages for them for their sales. Then our middle of the store is the newest inventory, the stuff that's we order wholesale, that we offer for everyone. And that's anything from Mattel cars, diecast to Super 7, larger figures, Funko, everything new. And then on our side of the store is our display cases that has everything we have on eBay. So the one-offs, the pins that are old, like 20 years old, or the newest Loungefly that dropped on Funko Shop that already sold out. It's very different.
So the hybrid is a blend of different types of inventory, considering other sellers, consignment, and then your own merchandise itself.
Yes.
How does the consignment process work? I ask this only because we have other sellers on who run consignment business, and they all operate a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
So how does yours operate? If I was a consigner, how would that work for me?
We have a wait list for people who want to be in the store, and if someone does leave, we try to fill it with the same theme so we're not oversaturated with only Disney pins or only figures or only stickers or different things. We have someone who's doing specialty cups and like decorations on them. We try to have a different flow for everybody.
So I can't just walk in and consign. I have to actually go on a wait.
No. If you're coming into the store to sell, we do purchase from people if it's something we can find consistent values on. But if you want your own space, that's something that we don't have a lot of room for at the moment.
What's the most valuable thing that's walked into the store that you were able to purchase or sell for someone?
There was probably, I can't remember the exact pin, but I think there was a frame set that we traded for around $5,000 in inventory merchandise.
Wow.
Yeah. I believe it was an Ariel theme. Or no, it was a princess theme. So there was three different ones in that, but it was the grail for princess collectors for the longest time.
And did you sell it?
We did sell the merchandise we traded for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A lot of times we love the buy-sell trade model. So if someone comes in with an item, we'll offer them a trade rate that's higher than the sell rate, obviously. And it just helps people get things for their collection.
Now that you've had a waiting list, you don't actually have to go out and hunt for consignment sellers to fill your shelves then.
No, not at all. Everybody's wanting to be in the store, and it's nice.
A growing business, I assume?
Yes.
How many employees right now?
We're about 10, but we have a couple people that only work for us when we visit certain locations. We do a lot of touring for conventions, and there's a couple people that we hire only when we're in the NorCal area or when we're in Vegas. We've built this community of people that we trust that can pick up anytime.
You must see trends in this particular niche of Disney collectibles. Can you give me an example or give us an example of a trend that you've noticed that was memorable?
I touched on this earlier about anniversaries and people growing up and buying things they couldn't have as a kid or things that have been lost, things that weren't popular. Let's say Emperor's New Groove for the longest time wasn't popular. But now that people who grew up with that in their childhood, they're wanting it now and they're buying it because they have the income to do it. And there's just random collections that'll have never been popular and then they'll just sprout up. That's fun to see.
Yeah. It's hard to predict, isn't it? Or can you go by time?
You could kind of go by time, but it also depends on, will Disney recognize that, or would any company recognize that and want to create merchandise for it?
I think the only piece of Disney merchandise I had was bought for me, and it was back, it must have been in 2004 or 2005. Wasn't that the 50th anniversary of the park?
It was the 50th, yes, 2005.
And somebody who was a park fanatic came back with, for all his close friends, with little Disney caps with the ears that are gold with our names embroidered on them. Now, Mayumi, is that worth anything?
Oh, well, okay. So it's personalized, so I would say it's probably not worth anything.
What if I pull out the embroidery?
Oh, I don't think, no. Ears, that style of ear hat hasn't stayed popular with the plastic ears.
Plastic ears, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's very into the new designer ears, and they're making so many of them, and they're collaborating with artists to make them designer, and they put them in ornate boxes, and it's things that used to be $15 in the park, they can now ask like $75 because it's designer.
Well, I guess I'll just hold on to them, and somebody will buy them in my estate sale, and then somebody will buy them in that person's estate sale, and pretty soon after 200 years, they might be worth something to somebody.
In 2050, maybe it'll like come back around because it has a 50 on it, right?
Oh, right, and it'll be the 100th coming up.
Yeah.
What are some of the learnings that you've had working with consignment sellers and your unique experience? Yeah, I don't know of many places where there's like a waiting list for people to be a part of something. So what are some of the things that you've learned?
We see that the ones that are selling the most in our store are the ones who are coming in and passionate about refreshing their case or repricing. Because if I walk into a store and it's the same stuff I saw 2 months ago, I'm not going to look at it. But if you're putting the work into your case and refreshing it, and we see the same thing on eBay, if you are fixing your stale product or repricing things, it's going to help. And that's what I've seen looking at the trends over the years. I love numbers and analyzing things. I'll make my dealer's pie chart or like a bar chart to see like, hey, this summer you were doing greater, or how it's changed over the months.
Do they appreciate that sort of analysis?
Sometimes. There was someone who was very hostile at one point when I told them, like, hey, I don't think I can have you at this many cases anymore, because they had multiple cases. And they're like, why? I'm doing great. And then I had to break it down and show them by real estate or by how many cases you had versus the months. It's not as great as you think it is. And space is very, very in demand at our store. So we're trying to maximize it, because if people are coming and spending on the dealer cases, it's coming back to us with those percentages.
And if they're not keeping it fresh, that's an income gap for you.
Yes.
Some people don't take well to that sort of
trim. No, they don't want to hear that they're the bottom case of the last couple months.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the one to break that news, but I suppose you have to do it.
Yeah, I got to be the bad guy sometimes.
When I was an active antique dealer back in the 70s and 80s, on the East Coast, I think what we would call that kind of consignment shop is a group shop, where people would have space and they would put their inventory in. It was kind of the same issue that people would, they were paying rent to be there in that particular spot, but they would hardly ever, it's not everyone, but there would be dealers who just wouldn't refresh their merchandise.
They got very comfortable. Yeah.
And the problem is they would complain because they weren't making sales. And I remember it was really hard to get that message across that, well, maybe no one wants what you have right now, so you better put some stuff in there that people want to buy. That is a hard message to put across. Moving on to your eBay business, I'm assuming you keep your own custom and advice and you keep that store fresh.
We list every day. Every single day we are listing, and we often don't get a lot of time to go back and reprice, but we always have things with the offer options so we can see, oh, you know, this was $50 a couple months ago, but now it's dropped to $30. I will take your offer if it's dropped back significantly.
What's moving right now out of the store? Is there any particular category?
Our biggest categories, I would say, are Funko and Disney pins. For Funko, we will list and we'll get offers instantly sometimes, but we like to let it sit for a couple hours so everyone has a chance to see it in case someone does want to buy it for our asking price.
So I wonder about that psychology, because I thought this too, that if you put something up that's in high demand, you know you're going to get a lot of people looking at it.
Yeah.
And they start sending you offers and you don't respond right away. They start to sweat.
They do.
Because they know other people are watching and putting offers in. And do you find that that gets things moving once you finally do?
If someone offered the same price as someone else, I will go for the one that came in first. But we do wait a couple hours before we take an offer or look at the offers.
Such torture.
It's like we're fishing, I guess. We don't want to take the first nibble. We want to wait for the big fish.
Yeah, I understand the nibble psychology. There's nothing more satisfying to some sellers than to be able to tell somebody who submits an offer that, oh, I'm sorry, it's sold. You know, somebody will send you an email and you say, well, no, it's sold. Sorry.
I feel awful. So we run into that a lot because our eBay inventory is priced in our store, in our storefront, our brick and mortar store. And sometimes we'll end an item and someone will message, wait, I was watching that. What happened to it? Do you have another one? And I'm like, sorry, it's sold in store. I don't have another one. You should have bought it. Sorry.
You snooze, you lose.
Yes, exactly.
Can you tell everyone where they can find you on eBay by either store name or user ID?
So our store name is Mighty Pins and Collectibles, but for the eBay ID, it's Mighty Pins.
And we'll put the links to your store in the transcript so you
thank
can check
you.
It out
oh,
there.
Thank you so much.
Well, Mayumi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Mayumi Rome is the senior manager at Mighty Pins and Collectibles. And again, we will put a link to her eBay store in the episode transcript.
You got questions?
We got answers. We got tons of answers.
We do.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll read the first one. Seller Bill Hughes sent the following to podcast@ebay.com. I accidentally shipped the wrong item to a customer. I am shipping another one immediately since they still want the item. How do I send them a return label so they can ship the wrong item back to me? Bill Hughes.
Interesting question. I think this happens more often than not.
Yeah, and I think the easiest option is to ask the buyer to start a return. That way the entire transaction is on eBay. You can still send them the right item if you have a duplicate on hand.
Yeah, because you can always print another label for the transaction with the understanding that that's going to change your ship time. So your ship time might take a ding, but if you're not anywhere near using up all your buffer, it's nothing to worry about. That's how I would handle it.
Agreed.
So I would say to the buyer, I'm so sorry, I'm going to ship you another one. Start the return process. You'll have a return label that'll get sent to you. In the meantime, I'm going to print out another label from the transaction and send you the right one. I'm so sorry. And I think it's kind of like, well, it's your fault. You made this error. So I think taking the hit on the shipping time and paying for another label that's part of the process, yeah. Right?
Agreed.
But there is another option.
Oh, what's another option?
Well, I don't recommend it, but I got to be honest, I've actually used it in the past.
Okay.
If you don't want to go through eBay, of course, it won't be recorded, but you can always print out your own shipping label, a return label as a PDF, and then mail it to the buyer through my messages as an attached file. And you can do this with most of the services. I know FedEx and UPS, if you have an account, you can do this, but probably the easiest one is to go to a site like stamps.com. It's not the only one. There are other sites as well, but it's the one I'm familiar with. I've always had a stamps.com account. And on stamps.com, you can create a return label. And I usually use USPS, and then you print it to your computer. It has your address as the sender and the buyer's address you'll type in. You'll collect it from the eBay order details and then save it as a PDF. And you can then send that to the buyer to print out. My only caution is if you're going to do this, make sure you're saving it as the full sheet file, because you have to make the assumption that very few people have a small thermal
yes.
printer.
Really good point.
As much as that irks me, I don't expect buyers to have one. I do expect sellers to have one, though. You can always do that. But like you said, and before I started ranting on about this, the easiest and the safest is just to use the eBay system. Ask the buyer, apologize, ask the buyer to start the return process. There's an option, I think, for sent the wrong item. So that, you know, it's recorded as not a serious fault with the item itself. It was just a seller error. I mean, we're human beings.
People make mistakes.
Yeah. I hope that works for you, Bill. Let us know. Our next email is from seller David, and he writes, "Hey guys, in my ephemera store, I sell many photos, paper, and things that weigh less than 1 ounce. Even if someone purchased 10 items, the package weight at checkout would be less than 4 ounces. I would like to be able to charge one flat rate for shipping at checkout, regardless of how many different items a person purchases. Further, I would like to offer free shipping if the total checkout cart value exceeds $20. Okay, so those two things you can do using shipping discount promotions, and all you have to do is just go to Seller Hub and then go to the promotions tab, look for shipping discounts, and you can set that up and apply it to whatever listings fit what you need to do, and those will be covered. However, David says, I have figured out how to do this. Hooray! Except, I also want to be able to send and accept offers. Okay, this is where it gets tricky, David. He says, when this option is presented, the best offer negates all the combined shipping discounts. Is there a way to keep combined shipping discounts in place even when items in the cart don't sell for their full listed price?
It's a great question, David. Unfortunately, it is impossible to include combined discounts for shipping in an accepted best offer. The recent immediate auto payment for best offers change makes shipping discounts unavailable since the buyer's payment method is immediately charged after the seller accepts the offer. Remember, any shipping discounts are calculated at the point of checkout, since best offers do not go through checkout. It isn't possible to stack shipping discounts for the item.
Yeah, and that's a shortcoming. I think the only thing that you could do in a case like this is offer a partial refund, send the buyer a partial refund to make up for those discounts after the transaction has closed. That option is always available to you, and lots of sellers use it in cases like this. But yeah, as we moved in the best offer scenario away from checkout, because it actually, there's no checkout for the buyer to go through. As Brian said, there's no way to include those shipping discounts. So yeah.
Could he also do like a coupon in that way? Like if it's someone who's a repeat buyer, or, you know, even someone who seems like they might be a repeat buyer, say, hey, I'm going to give you a coupon for your next purchase off because of that.
Yeah, you could do that. Hopefully the buyer will buy, but I think that's one way to do it. Yeah. Those are your options, David.
Well, our next email is from sellers David and Sherry Beckham, who emailed the following suggestion to podcast@ebay.com. I was listening to the eBay for Business podcast this morning, as I do weekly. One of the questions you had was how to use your phone for adding video.
Oh, I remember that.
I have been using my phone for some time to add video. I use the eBay app to list and photograph most of my items. When I want to add video, I open a browser on my iPhone and log into my eBay account. I then go to my draft, open the one I want to use video, then edit the draft. I click on the pencil icon to add a new photo, and then go to my photos and video, then add the video. I use an iPhone, so I can't say how it works with an Android device. Until they get the app updated, this is a very easy fix. Hope it helps someone. Our username is Breeze Flippers, and our store is Doohickeys and Whatnot. Boy, I like that. I like both those names. They're creative. Thanks for the great podcast. Well, thank you, David and Sherry.
Anyway, David and Sherry, thanks so much. I hadn't thought about that when we gave the advice, but he's absolutely right. There's always, on either iPhone or an Android, works on both, there's always your web browser, whether that's the Safari browser or the mobile app Chrome browser, where you can go to ebay.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and click on eBay Classic, and you get the full eBay site on your web browser. You have to pinch in and out because it's big, but you can add video that way.
It's a really good suggestion, and I think more than someone will take advantage of it.
I hope so. Until the time, as Dave says, until such time as the folks who are working on the mobile app actually include video capability within what we call the native app. You may hear us call mobile native. That's the nomenclature internally when we talk about the mobile app. And I think we'll spread it externally too. Why not?
I think you should do an episode on why eBay calls it the native app and not the mobile app.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Don't know.
That's a good question.
I'm going to have to ask someone in product.
Yeah. Anyway, so David, Sherry, thank you. That was a great suggestion. And you did send us your address. There'll be a mug on your way in the next few weeks.
Oh, that's right. we didn't even talk about mugs for the others.
In fact, we should take this opportunity to tell you that we have a sizable cache of these wonderful USB hot and cold mugs that if you send us a question and you include your shipping address, we'll send one to you. There's a limit, and we've never really talked about this for a while, but it's a limit one every 6 months because people started sending in questions and say, you know, I'd like 10 of these. Well, we got to make the supply last, so one every 6 months.
That's fair enough.
I think so.
Maybe if they posted on social media or on the community site that they got it, then maybe we could, you know, once every 5 months.
Why are you breaking the rule I just set, Brian? What's wrong with you?
I do get a little antagonistic sometimes.
Yeah, that's what we love about you.
Well, we also had a question posted on our eBay for Business Facebook group from eBay seller Rick Belanger, who asks, we have received several, i.e. more than six, inbox messages from eBay within the last month related to listing luxury watches. We don't sell them and likely never will. Is it possible to opt out of receiving these sorts of messages?
And this was, as you said, posted on Facebook, and there were a few responses from other people that are members of the group, but none of them actually addressed the question because there is a way to do this. And I thought, well, maybe these people just don't know it. So let's talk about it. And I answered the question on the forum, but it's really simple. It's a thing called communication preferences, and you can find it if you go to my eBay up in the right-hand corner. And when you just click my eBay, the next page, there's a link there for account, and you then click account preferences on the next page. And you're going to see a whole bunch of things, but one of them in the right-hand column is communication preferences. So if you click that, you'll find all of the different options you have for opting in and out of different types of communications from eBay. And one of them is marketing communications. Click edit for that particular option, and then you'll see a bunch of them. For example, under marketing communications, there's eBay surveys and research. You can check or uncheck that. There's general email promotions where you can check or uncheck that. And then the one that I suggest you uncheck if you don't want to get those messages about listing watches, and that would be seller email promotions. You can check or uncheck that. And then there's one for postal mail catalogs and one for phone updates and promotions. So there's a bunch of them. You can uncheck or check as you like. That's as granular as the options get, and they are global. So if you uncheck seller email promotions, it's all or nothing. You won't get anything from eBay about special fee discounts or special promos or anything of that nature. But that's how you would stop those from coming in, Rick.
Well, if Rick has the question, I'm sure others did too.
Yeah. What about you? What do you have checked or unchecked?
I have everything checked because I want to hear everything that's going on with eBay.
Yeah. I have everything checked too. To me, it's just not, I don't want to, you know, invalidate anyone's concern about getting emails they don't want. For me, I just set up these in Gmail. I set up filters that catalog all of the mail that comes in based on the subject line. And then that way I don't miss them. I can see them and go, oh, you know, maybe I want to sell a luxury watch. Oh, there's a promo coming up. And if I don't, then at some point I just click on that tag and I'll see all of the mail that I've had sorted into that and say, nah, don't need these. Mass select, mass delete, gone.
That's something I should do with like some of my saved searches. Because some of the saved searches I have, they're just there, but I don't use them daily or I'm not actively looking at them daily. And I could use a filter just to say, okay, look, when I have time to go play around with Nancy's old car again and need to find parts, the searches are going and I know I can just go right back to them rather than having them in my inbox. That's a good idea.
So I have a lot of saved searches and I figured out that they all share something in common and it's eBay new today and then something else. And what I did is I have maybe 20 of them saved searches and I figured out how to add them to one, I forget what they call them in Gmail, a label, that's what they are.
They're a label. Oh.
And then when I'm done looking at them, I just go into one of them and click on the label on the top of the email that says eBay new today. All of them show up. I batch select all of them and then batch delete them all and say, yeah, I've seen them. Bye-bye. We should do a class on this for people using Gmail.
We should. I'll attend the class. You can teach me. I'm going to have to go play around with that this weekend.
Yeah, I've done a lot of playing around because I like to manage my mail. There's other mail services out there that, quite frankly, I think are easier to use, but I've already got the Griffith, Griffville.com set up so that it goes to a Gmail account, you know, with a redirect. So, you know, I'm going to stick with it.
That's where mine go. Well, if you have a question about selling on eBay and you cannot find the answer, why not ask us? I mean, what do you got to lose?
Exactly.
Call 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. We're getting more calls. Unfortunately, most of them are like personal account issues, which we can't talk about on the air. But if it's a general question about selling on eBay, please, 888-723-4630. You can call that number at your convenience and you can leave a question or comment. And who knows, we just might put you on the air.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, you can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now the point that everyone who listens to this just waits for the entire episode, it's your 3-point podcast checklist.
I can feel the anticipation. Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
Okay, it's been a while, so you're about to get one. The busy holiday selling season is now upon us. You know what you need to increase efficiency this year. You do know it, right? You guessed it.
OMG.
A thermal printer. Find the perfect one on eBay.
I thought you were going to say something like increase your sales, use promoted listings. Maybe that's next week.
A thermal printer.
It does help with efficiency and professionalism.
So next week, there's a bit of audio I got at the Seller Remix from a seller who had, she came up to me and she said, "You saved my life." And then we recorded it and it's about a thermal printer. So I'll play that next week.
Oh my gosh. Thermal printers save lives.
Yep.
New York Times headline. Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we reference during the episode.
And on our next episode, I'm really excited because we're going to talk with a seller who's located in my home state of brave little Vermont. Her name is Janet Mondlach. And we had this long conversation recently about selling on eBay while on an extended road trip. And by extended, I mean 3 years.
OM. Wow. 3 years.
This is going to be fun. You're not going to want to miss it.
Did you know her when you were back there in Vermont?
No, but it turns out that we know a lot of people in common. In fact, when I was talking to her, somebody I know, a dealer there who shall be nameless, walked in and bought something. And then she sent me a picture and I looked at the picture and I said, "Oh yeah, that's a piece of Wedgwood basalt. That's a nice piece right there." She said, "You knew what it was." I said, "I would have bought it." So we'll hear that interview. It's a really good one. You're not going to want to miss it.
Great. Looking forward to next week's one as well. But we'd like to again thank our guest this week, Mayumi Rome.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.